WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
Superstar. And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
It's time for the 2026 Ramblin' Awards. Celebrating the best in sports and entertainment in 2025. Now here to present the 2026 Ramblin' Awards, your hosts, Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. It is the 2026 Ramblin' Awards, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live giving out awards on a Thursday night. It's football on. It's a good night. You can tweet
good
us
game,
out.
Too.
Good, very good game. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Record Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RecordRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTOLive to interact with us live here tonight. As we present to you the best of 2025 with the 2026 Ramblin' Awards.
Let's go. All right. That's going to be in the back half of the show. We do have some news into because...
No, that's the show. That's the show.
That's the show. We're not doing the news.
Look. Do you see what the date says at the top?
Okay. I mean, we don't want to talk about how Brent was very, very busy.
No, it's all stacking. It's all stacking up.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The Great. News will wait. The news will wait.
The news will wait. News so waits. He says.
Yeah.
So everybody get ready for a news-heavy show next week.
That's the whole point, so we have content next week.
Content? We don't need content next week. What are you talking about?
I mean,
content.
We kind of...
Who needs content?
I mean, we kind of do. Our content kind of got screwed up for next week, so... We do need content.
You'll have to tell me about that after the show.
The thing got delayed.
Oh, right. Anyway, let us dive into the awards then and not the news. So up first we have the Yowie Wowie biggest surprise of the year, and our nominees are
here. Hold,
I show speed.
Hold, no. I said we have production. We have production for this stuff. Each category has production.
Well, Mr. Producer Man, hit your production.
The nominees for the Yowie Wowie biggest surprise are iShowSpeed competes in the Royal Rumble. Jey Uso wins the Royal Rumble. Joe Hendry wrestles at WrestleMania. Jelly Roll competes at SummerSlam. Trick Williams wins the TNA World Championship. JC Jane wins the TNA Knockouts Championship while being NXT Women's Champion. Brock Lesnar returns to WWE at SummerSlam.
All right. Well, let the debate begin.
Watching iShowSpeed show up the Royal Rumble and then get speared by Bron Breakker had to be one of the best moments of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty funny, especially since they didn't hold back on him. Bron did not hold back on him at all. But it was pretty exciting and surprising when they had Jey Uso win the Rumble. And also, honestly, I was really shocked when Joe Hendry showed up at WrestleMania. I was not expecting that at all. I don't think anybody was.
I mean, there were rumors that it would be Joe Hendry. There's just a few. But for them to actually pull the trigger,
mm-hmm.
was a little bit shocking. I mean, I don't think anyone had the singer Jelly Roll show up and just say, hey, I'm going to wrestle. And that's what he did at SummerSlam.
That is in fact what he did.
Like, I don't think that was on anyone's bingo card for a moment happening this year. Like, and he did well.
Oh, he did super well. Like, he's done a lot to get himself in shape, and he's, you know, he trained and he did all he could to make sure that he looked good in the ring.
For the Bludgeon Brothers tag team.
Thing kept going.
That's next. I think, though, that, like, the bigger surprise with that was honestly him taking the L versus, like, him actually wrestling.
And that was his decision.
And that was his call, yeah, that he lose. But I think a lot of us, because it's like, oh, it's a celebrity, so automatic W, right? And then, like, Jelly Roll loses, and we're like, oh, okay, all right. Didn't expect that. So I think that was just a little bit more of a surprise in him competing.
Which I will probably see a lot of that, like the whole drama behind that on WWE Unreal on Netflix season 2, which comes out on the 20th.
Yes. Yes. Trick and JC winning TNA titles.
Again, start of the year. I don't think anyone thought we're going to be talking about TNA and WWE, and they've been on a full-on partnership all year long.
Yeah, they have. To both companies' benefits. Like, Joe Hendry got a contract out of it. Good for him. But I think it's good. I think it's smart, because you can do the talent exchange. You have a lot of people that, like, can't necessarily shine in both places, being able to come into either company and do their thing. And obviously, some people are doing better than others. I don't think it was terribly surprising that they put the titles on them. JC, I think, was a little bit more of a surprise, because she already had the women's championship. And it was kind of almost, are they going to put, like, the NXT title on a TNA person? Because that would be kind of awesome if they would do that. But they didn't. So I think there are bigger surprises on here than Trick and JC, but it was still really cool moments to see. I don't want to give it to this last one, even though it was a huge surprise. I don't want to do it.
Okay.
It
was one of the bigger surprises of the year. So one of the bigger moments of the year, because no one thought it was going to happen. There was no real speculation that really actually going to be a thing, because all talks was, oh, he's not being, there's no conversation with him, they're not talking about him. But Brock showing back up, turning at SummerSlam, was a big surprise, because I don't think anyone thought that was, because of all the stuff that's going on, it's like, I don't think anyone thought that would happen, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it boils down to three. And what is the Brock moment? Brock, it's Jelly Roll, and it's Jey. And I think when it comes down to it for me, I think it's Jey winning. Because we had all had, I think, LOL Cena wins at that moment. Mm-hmm. And LOL Cena didn't win. It was Jey. But what's your take?
I'm not giving it to Brock. For reasons. that I don't want to go into right now. But like, I think, like I said earlier about Jelly Roll, I think the bigger moment was the loss as opposed to him competing, but it was still a really cool moment to see him do, because as I mentioned, he worked super, super hard to be able to do that. And his results paid off because he looked great in the ring, and I can't take anything away from him in that regard. But I can get behind Jay winning the Rumble because I, like, to your point, nobody believed they were actually going to do it, I think. Like, nobody thought they were going to pull the trigger on that, because it's kind of something in WWE where they don't do stuff like that, right? They don't. Like, somebody we're all so used to, even though it's been, like, what, 2-3 years now since things happened, that we're not used to them pulling the trigger on somebody like that when they get hot. So the fact that they did that for Jay, the fact that they gave him that win and gave him that run heading into Mania, and they did everything they did, was really, really, really cool, because there was an anticipation there at that point with Jay where that popularity was really building. And it's, oh my God, wouldn't it be so cool if they did this, but they won't, because LOL, Cena wins, right? Like, we all thought that. And so, yeah, I can get behind Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble as our biggest surprise of the year.
Biggest surprise is Jey Uso winning the 2026 or 2025. Royal Rumble.
And since we already started to announce it, let's hit the next one.
The nominees for the Bludgeon Brothers Tag Team of the Year are Kabuki Warriors, Hardys, Alexa Bliss, and Charlotte Flair, Judgment Day, New Day, Street Profits, Rhea Ripley, and Io Sky, Wyatt Six, Bayley, and Lyra Valkyria, Dragon Lee, and AJ Styles. FTR, Hurt Syndicate.
So the biggest thing is
Io Sky.
Io Sky. So that's one of about five different ways it was said. So
I bet you had fun getting to pronounce these, didn't you?
No, honestly, the only one it screwed up on was Io Sky.
Of course.
There was another version. There was another version I tried that really was screwing it up. So these were this was the second attempt. John Cena.
Ah.
I couldn't put in John Cena for awards. So, you know, that's one version was IYO Sky. That was said.
YO Sky.
Yep. Anyway, Tag Team of the Year. And we're breaking down both the men's and the women's. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago on the Sunday show. There would have been AEW tag team, women's tag teams in here, but they just started to become a thing, and it's like they're like the Willow and Harley. They would be considered, but it's been a month and not a year, so really can't talk about them for this option. But the women's tag division in both sides has been strong, and WWE has put in a renewed effort, and it's been fun to watch, like, Rhea and Io come together, because we're going to talk about them in the match category where they were fighting the first half of the year, and then they've kind of bonded and become a tag team for the back half of the year.
I will say, I do, as much as I love them, like them and Charlotte and Alexa, I kind of have to disqualify them a little bit before the year category, because they weren't necessarily a tag team for the year, right? Like, especially when you have them going up against, like, the Hardys and the Judgment Day and the New Day and the Street Profits and FTR and the Hurt Syndicate, who have all been, like, established tag teams. They've been around, some of them, for forever. So, like, it's not to take anything away from them, but it's like, if you formed within the year of 2025, it's like,
I mean,
I don't know if I can give it to you. Like, I kind of want to be a stickler about it.
I mean, no, you could give it to them because they've had success.
They've had success, but it's for the year, right? So you have to look at the body of work for the year. It's like, I would kind of disqualify New Day, because New Day didn't really, they had an okay year, but they didn't have a great year.
I mean, they were tag champs.
They were tag champs, and they've been doing, like, the morning gimmick, but, like, they've sort of been, like, in and out of things.
Yeah, I can give you that. FTR has been tag champs for a couple months now. Hurt Syndicate had them for a few months in AEW. They were solid, but nothing they did stood out there as terms of, like, being the best tag team in the world. Dragon Lee and AJ Styles do that, then we disqualify them from Tag Team of the Year.
I mean, they just kind of formed not that long ago.
Yeah, but they were tag champ.
But is that the qualifier, your Tag Team of the Year, because you held the titles?
I mean, it makes a good case.
Eh, Like, I think for me, the thing with Rhea and Io and Alexa and Charlotte specifically is the chase was better than the tag team. Like, the story of them becoming a tag team is what sells it. Like, they're a fine tag team. They're good. They're super entertaining, right? But what made us fall in love with it, especially like Rhea, like, or actually those two, was the enemies to lovers story that they told with both of them, where they came together and they grew together and they eventually became fond of enough of each other that they wanted to be a tag team. And then in Alexa and Charlotte's case, they became like BFFs or whatever. So like the story itself is what sells the team. It's not the team itself, if that makes sense. It's like Bailey and Lyra, right? Like they came together super weird, and the story of how they came together is still being told, right? Because they're still sort of like bonding and becoming cohesive, and Bailey was weird for a while and I guess she's okay now. I don't know.
I mean, they bonded early. They went to WrestleMania. They were going to go to WrestleMania together before Bailey got taken out the night before WrestleMania and couldn't compete, or day of WrestleMania and couldn't compete, and Becky took her spot, and they've been building back their friendship. And that's part of the deal with them, with the women's tag teams. The journey is kind of plays a part in their growth as a tag team. They've all had journeys together. I would count that a lot.
I just, like, to me, this is going to be kind of controversial, maybe. I don't know. But I actually kind of want to give it to the Judgment Day. And the reason why is not for the story, is for the consistency. And the fact that they have ridden that gimmick for years, not just 1 year, years, but they've been so ungodly consistent, and they've kind of taken over that spot for the Usos of being sort of the default safe tag team, right? Like, you need a tag team to put the titles on. It's either the New Day or it's the Judgment Day. And the Judgment Day has just been so ungodly consistent in helping to carry that division as of late, especially for this year, because you didn't have the Usos to help carry the division. The White Six were out for part of the year. They're on SmackDown. The Street Profits are having their problems.
Well, the Profits were champs.
The Hardys are in team.
Before you go through them, the Profits were tag champs for about 3 months, who dropped the belts to the Wyatt Six, who've been dominating the tag division since that point on SmackDown since mid-July, I think, at SummerSlam, when they got the belt, so right around there. So the Wyatt Six have been a dominant force on SmackDown for a good part of the year. I know they missed the first couple months because of things, but they've been pretty consistent overall. And then the Hardys. So the Hardys are on here because they've done something that we talked about for the surprise moment, but they won the tag titles. They won the NXT tag titles as well as being the TNA tag team champion.
Yep.
I mean, that,
and I think right, that
that puts them up there as reason to be tag team of the year.
Doesn't that make it where they've held tag titles in almost
everywhere,
every major promotion?
They everywhere. I don't know if they got it. I don't know if they got them in AEW. They may have. I don't remember if they did.
They might have.
If they did, it was for a short while. But I don't think they were ever. I don't know if they ever got there. But yeah, they've had a great. This has been a run for them where it's like they've had pretty good matches. They've retired the Dudley Boys this year. To me, they're a strong top contender for tag team of the year.
They had ROH, but I don't think they've had AEW. I think that's
because Jeff had issues and they were headed there, but they never came back together in time.
Yeah, no, they could never quite bring that back around again.
For me, it's hard to give it to Judgment Day. Yes, I know they're consistent, but their reign to this year wasn't anything memorable. No, I find it hard to give them the nod.
I mean, if you want to go Hardys, we can give it to the Hardys. I have no problem doing that. I can accept that.
Also, we made zero case for the Kabuki Warriors.
I mean, again, if you want to go consistently, like consistency, there's your Kabuki Warriors on the female side. Like, Asuka and Kari have just held that tag division down. Literally, they have held the women's tag division down. They have been the women's tag division at one point. Like, it was them and nobody else. So, like, they had to make teams to have people be able to go against them. So, I mean, if you want to talk about consistency and you want to talk about, you know, holding it together, they definitely are a contender for that.
I think it's the Hardys, though. Like, I like the New Day. They were solid. Street Profits were solid. Wyatts were solid. But I think it's Hardys. I think
the Hardys is a good compromise. And that's not to insult them, but they literally did something that nobody else has done. And on this list or in any other company. And you have to reward that just because they innovated again, something new.
Yeah. So the Bludgeon Brothers Tag Team of the Year is the Hardy Boys. I'm okay with that.
In the year of our Lord, 2026.
It's probably the last time, but it's not the first. Wouldn't be the first. I'm sure it might be the last.
Oh my god.
But hey, TNA moves into the AMC era next week, so they could be on another Renaissance with the Hardys. Who knows?
They're like the Energizer Bunny. They just keep going and going and going and going and going.
And going, and going. And going. All right, let's go to our next category.
The nominees for the Oh Have Mercy shocking moment are Naomi cashes in at Evolution. John Cena turns on Cody Rhodes at Elimination Chamber. John Cena breaks up with the fans. Travis Scott interferes at WrestleMania. Paul Heyman turns on Roman Reigns and CM Punk at WrestleMania. Jade Cargill returns at Elimination Chamber. Seth Rollins cashes in at SummerSlam. AJ Lee returns to WWE. The Vision turn on Seth Rollins. John Cena gives up in his final match.
I like how John Cena has three in this category.
It's a year. It's the year of John Cena. Like, it was the year of John Cena. He did a lot. He was the only person who was on every PLE this year.
That's an accomplishment. Ooh, I just saw the score of the Miami Ole Miss game. Oh, shit. They're catching up. Anyway, back to the awards. There's football, guys. There's football. Out of this list.
Yes.
To me, it kind of comes down to two moments, because all of these are fantastic moments, right? But some were way more expected than others. Actually, technically, I'll do three. So it's Naomi, it's the John Cena heel turn, and it's AJ.
Okay.
And I think, like, the John Cena heel turn, they have been teasing it, but they always tease it, right? Like, they always tease the John Cena thing, and they're like, they're never going to do it. They're never going to turn that man heel, right? Especially not in his retirement run, but we all had hopes. And then they actually did it. And the moment itself was just absolutely fantastic, because literally everybody lost their shit when he did it. Naomi cashing in at Evolution was a fantastic surprise. Again, it was somewhat expected because she did have the Money in the Bank. There's always a possibility, but you never know if they were actually going to do it and if they were actually going to let her like do the full cash in and win the title or not. So that was a really fantastic moment for her, just to see her kind of come full circle after everything she had sort of been through to leave and come back and then create the new character and just really start to run with it and win the title. And then there's AJ. The return, probably the most anticipated to return to wrestling, I think, in at least the last 10 years. When she left, we were all heartbroken. And ever since, it's been, we want AJ to come back. We wish AJ would come back. And it was always, no, 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 she's not going to do it. She's never going to do it. She's not going to return. She's living her best life. She's having a good time. She doesn't want to come back. And then it happened. And everybody, again, lost their shit in a good way. And it was just a really fantastic moment, not only for like the fans, but for the industry as a whole, because when she came back, it ignited a fire under people, because it's like, oh, mom's back? Okay, let's go. And it was exciting because we don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how long we're going to have her, and we don't know the possibilities for matches. But considering the fact that she hasn't wrestled the majority of the people on the roster, it just is an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, because you have the crossover with TNA, you have NXT, and you have WWE. So it's like everything's on the table with this, and it's so cool. But what about you?
There's a lot of, the heel turn gave us the Cena emote with the face.
It did.
Became, actually, Cena gave us two meme faces this run. He gave it. There's actually three in the Cena shocking moments. They're all meme. It's the Cena heel turn face, which he described as, he told them it's going to get uncomfortable, just zoom in on my face, and they did. There's the Cena gives up in his final match face, where it's become a meme on Twitter and everywhere, where just, you see him just, his face with the smile. New meme. And then he broke up with the fans during the heel run, and the kid became a meme. He made the kid so sad when he broke up with them when they were overseas last year. It was fantastic television. People hated on the heel turn, but when they were overseas and he was just getting booed out of the buildings was fantastic. Also, the fact that Cena made up with the kid when they went back, class act.
Definitely.
Travis Scott is still walking to the ring to Fiend for his WrestleMania moment. Seth Rollins cashing in at SummerSlam, a little bit shocking, but kind of after a while, I was like, oh, he's really not injured. But then he gets injured, so the Vision had a turn on him is very, very fitting on that one. And then Jade rolling up at Elimination Chamber, an underrated moment of the year, because she came in right away and just whooped on Naomi.
Yeah, she did.
Like, that was shocking at how much she whooped on her. And then when it came to Paul Heyman, we figured he was turning on one. We didn't think he was turning on two. That was pretty shocking on itself. Turning on both Roman and Punk. We figured he'd turn on Punk to go back to Roman, but he didn't. He went to Seth Rollins to eventually form the Vision. Pretty shocking. AJ, though?
It was very shocking.
AJ, as you mentioned, kind of shook the foundation a little bit in terms of, oh, she's back. That was big. Perception-wise for the company, it was a monumental moment because there's always the whispers that it could happen ever since Punk came back. But she always said no. But then she said yes. And they're slowly using her. I saw something on Twitter like, they haven't really followed up with her. They did. She wrestled at the WrestlePalooza and the Survivor Series. You are going to use her during the holidays. It's a slow burn with her. Let her get comfortable again. So your top three were Naomi and Naomi cashing the Evolution. She had lost earlier tonight, so you weren't figured she was done, and she had something happen with her, what was it, her face? She got busted open, her nose or something?
Yeah, like she got busted open.
So no one thought she would come back that night to cash in. She did. She cashed in on Jade. Right, it was Jade and... No, she lost to Jade. She cashed in on, who was it? Oh, it was Rhea and Io. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Rhea and Io. So yours was Naomi, AJ, and Cena.
The turn, specifically. Because there's three.
Yeah, the turn. It's Cena or AJ?
I have to give it to AJ. Cena was good. Like, Cena was really, really, really good. But AJ was, as you said, foundational. Like, AJ returning shook the industry because it's, oh, shit. And it did. It lit a fire under people in a way that we haven't seen in a long time because the entire women's division, not that it needed motivation, but the entire women's division got put on notice because it's mom's home.
Yeah.
And mom's here to kick ass and take names. And it's not like we get her for a year and she's gone. It's we get her for however long we have her. And then that's it. So like, because we don't know, it's still special. Like with Cena, we knew it was a year. And so like, because of that, certain things were with expected. But with AJ, it's like, once she's done, she's done. So she could walk out Monday night on Raw and be like, I'm out. Peace. I've done everything I wanted to do. I've proven I can still do this. I've proven I can hang with these girls. I don't need to do anymore. And that's it. All right. And so because of that, because we don't know how long it's going to be, there is that special quality to it that Cena kind of didn't have, right? Because we knew. We knew how many appearances. We knew how long. We knew everything. We just didn't know how it was all going to go in sequence. With AJ, we don't know. So I have to give it to AJ.
I think we have seen something. So yeah, the Oh Have Mercy shocking moment. AJ Lee returns to WWE. And I think if the heel turn was as great as people hoped it would have been, that would have won.
Yeah. I think if the entire heel run had been better, like in concept, it was a great idea.
Great moment.
In execution, it lacked.
Yeah. All right. Our next category.
The nominees for the Uncle Howdy's most noteworthy moment are Kevin Owens' neck injury, Mariah May leaves AEW and becomes Blake Monroe in WWE, the return of WWE Evolution, Goldberg retires, the fans bring back R-Truth, AJ Styles returns to TNA Wrestling, the death of Hulk Hogan, John Cena officially retires, Naomi announces pregnancy, NXT versus TNA Live Special.
I like the tone change specifically on the Hogan death. That's all bright and happy, and then Hulk Hogan.
death. Good. I like that. Yeah. That was good.
Bless the AI for knowing tone change.
That's a terrifying thing. We don't want that. All right, you go first. You talk about it.
So AJ Styles returned to TNA. Didn't think that was going to. It was very noteworthy because he hasn't appeared for them in over a decade. He kind of left that company on bad terms. Mm-hmm. The whole Dixie Carter era. So him actually showing back up, hearing the old music, walking out to a ring that says TNA Wrestling on it, which wouldn't have been a thing a year ago because they were Impact Wrestling a little bit over a year ago. That was a big deal. Would have been bigger if he actually wrestled, but him returning, big deal. No word. Naomi announcing her pregnancy. We were just talking about her cashing in. It's noteworthy because she was on the run of a lifetime.
Yeah, she was.
And then she found out she's pregnant.
Which is a different run of a lifetime.
It is. NXT versus TNA. It was supposed to be an invasion, and it turned into a showdown because world events happened. Still a big moment that they actually did a TNA versus NXT battle. Goldberg retiring. We all thought he was already retired, but then they gave him one last match. And then
he was dissatisfied with.
He bitched him out on his way out, so I can't give it to him there. Noteworthy because it's been 7 years, I think it was, the return of WWE Evolution, the all-women's event.
Mm-hmm.
Mariah May leaving AEW then becoming Blake Monroe was a big deal. She was on the top of the AEW women's division, and Tony sat her for 3 months. And then when her contract was up, or she got out of it, or whatever it turned out to be, she appeared in WWE. No one knew what her name was going to be. People were disappointed it was Blake Monroe, and then they told the backstory of why it was Blake Monroe, and everyone got on board with the name Blake Monroe. And she's had a solid run so far, and probably will have a bigger run in 2026. Kevin Owens getting injured. That sucked.
Yeah, that was heartbreaking.
That kind of sucked. It is a very noteworthy moment when someone like Hulk Hogan died.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was everyone's childhood hero.
Well, mostly everyone's.
Well, if you grew up in the 80s, he was your childhood. He was the guy. You know, if you started watching in that era, he was the guy. He was the man. Everyone knows
Hogan. I know that. Everyone knows Hogan. Yes, everyone knows Hogan. I think that is a fair statement. Like, my dad knows who Hogan is.
Yeah, everyone knows Hulk Hogan. So him dying transcends wrestling. It was in the world loss. R-Truth gets fired, and then the internet revolted.
Yep.
And so the idea of, hey, if we just revolt against anything, they'll bring anyone back. And as we learn, that's not the case.
Yeah.
As Karrion Kross is still working for MLW. That it's noteworthy for that alone. And then everyone's childhood hero retired again. Retired. The modern era version. Currently. Yeah, John Cena's done. Officially hung up the jorts.
In a year of moments, can I just say that Cena's retirement, because again, we knew it was coming, I think honestly does not rank as high as some of these other ones.
No, I think it's top tier.
You think it's top? Really?
Yes, because it was the moment, the most noteworthy thing. It's John Cena's career ending. We knew about it. Doesn't not make it noteworthy.
I'm not saying it's not noteworthy. I'm just saying in terms of ranking some of these things, like, would you say that John Cena retiring is bigger than Hulk Hogan dying?
I can't give it to Hogan dying, though. It's up there. They're neck and neck. I wouldn't put no. I can't.
I mean, I understand why you can't.
I can't give it to Hogan. I can't give it to Hogan. I can talk about the Hogan thing. But Cena retiring is a noteworthy moment because it ended the era. It closed the chapter. Make a case for something else.
I can make a case, even though it's not as big, for R-Truth. And the reason why I can make a case for it is because it's something that has not necessarily happened before in WWE. The fans have never gotten somebody who was released rehired within a specific amount, within like days of them being let go. Like, the response and the revolt to R-Truth being released was one of those things that shook WWE literally to its core, to the point that they went, maybe we should rethink this one and maybe we should rehire this guy, because clearly he is valued more by the fans, by the locker room, and by the industry as a whole than we initially thought. Now, they brought him back and they really haven't done a lot with him since. He's kind of been seen as sort of like side piece, but just because that happened, and it has not necessarily happened before, and it hasn't happened since, would lead me to believe that that is a very noteworthy thing because it's unique. Now, if Karrion Kross had gotten rehired and some of the other ones have gotten rehired, I would say that it's much more common. But because the fans went to bat for R-Truth and the fans won, that's pretty noteworthy. Like, I agree, Cena retiring is a huge moment. It's absolutely massive because it does close that chapter. It ends his career and it's the next generation's childhood hero leaving them behind. And moving on. R-Truth's
childhood hero leaving him behind.
R-Truth is older than Cena.
But R-Truth said he's his childhood hero.
R-Truth is older than Cena.
And that's why I can't give it the R-Truth, because they didn't follow up with it. They brought him back, and he's back to doing whatever he was doing before.
But the point is that they brought him back. Because I would say, that, like, if you're going to go there with it, I would say then Cena's retirement, we have to take the entire run into account. And it was not what I would term a great run for him. It was good. It was entertaining at times, very entertaining at times. Like, he did a lot more stuff than I think we all thought he was going to do, but it's definitely tarnished.
I think there were two stinkers along the tour and everything else was pretty good. Mania and WrestlePalooza were kind of stinkers.
Yeah.
Touchdown Miami. And everything else on the tour was really good. He cut fantastic promos. He did some really cool things. He gave us some great moments all the way through. And it's ending a chapter in WWE history. That's very significant.
But R-Truth is adding a note in WWE history as well. He did something that nobody else has necessarily done that I can recall.
Daniel Bryan. He got fired and was brought back within 2 months.
R-Truth was the same week.
I know, but you're saying it hasn't been done. It's been done. And R-Truth was let go because R-Truth was let go because of contract negotiation. And his contract was ending. That's
but it
that
brought
happened.
Them back to the table.
It brought them back to the table. I can't give it to him. It's Cena.
All right, we can go with Cena. That's fine. But to me, R-Truth deserves an honorable mention.
It's a very notable moment, but it's an ending of a chapter in history. And Cena can prove me all wrong when he returns in 2 years, wrestles again, and this whole point, it doesn't matter. But he put a stamp on it. It's over. Done. It's finished.
He's going to return with the heel character.
That he's always wanted to do.
Chad Jonathan or whatever.
Something like that. Juan Cena. Anyway, the most noteworthy, Uncle Howdy's most noteworthy moment of the year is John Cena officially retires from WWE. All right, we have three categories left. This is the rack. Chad, if you have Amazon Prime, hit the purple button. Do the thing. Support the channel for free. Or use carrier code RocketSockRelintMWord in the Fortnite AM shop tomorrow. When you buy South Park, hashtag Epic Partner.
Are they going to be little?
No, they're mechs. They're going to have, like, the mech.
Oh,
like
they're
the...
doing what they did with, like, with Bart and Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's going to be a stick that changes the storm and a whole bunch of other things. Going to be weird. Going to be weird. Anyway, our next category.
The nominees for Male Hard Carry of the Year are John Cena, Seth Rollins, John Moxley, Hangman Adam Page, Gunther, Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes, Jevon Evans, Obafemi, Bron Breakker, Dirty Dom Mysterio.
They only screwed up one name. Javon. Jevon. Hey, close enough. This is a interesting category. You had John Moxley for AEW fans, who was champion until All In, who was then defeated by Hangman Adam Page and his redemption arc. Everyone hated Moxley as champ. Now everyone kind of loves him again, because even though he's champ again, but a different title. His run was good, but had really go-away heat for a while. Hangman had the redemption arc of finally winning back a championship, getting back on the horse, which he lost 3 months later.
He lost the horse 3 months later?
The horse and the belt, yeah. Javon Evans has had a really strong year. Has he won a championship? No, but he was a really big part of the WWE's NXT run this year. He's going to be a big part of the Raw on Raw going forward, even though people are complaining that it was on a commercial that he signed. It's not a big deal. And it was a big part of the TNA crossover as well. Jey Uso won the Royal Rumble. Jey Uso.
He did.
Won the world title at WrestleMania.
He did.
Cody Rhodes won the title back at SummerSlam after he lost it at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins came world champion again. He also won during the main event of WrestleMania. Gunther had a strong year. He won back a world title after losing it at WrestleMania. Retired Goldberg. He retired our noteworthy man, John Cena. Braun Breaker. Had a good year, but he's next year is him.
Yeah. This is going to be his year.
Maybe. Because there's also Oba Femi, who's on a collision course to be a top star. He had a great year in NXT.
Yeah, I did.
Multiple-time world champion. Headlined multiple shows. PLE shows. The man of NXT. There's John Cena, who won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. Lost it at SummerSlam. Turned heel. Turned babyface. It was his year. It was his final year. He had matches that you didn't think he would have. He did things you never thought he would do. And then there's the two-time Intercontinental Champion, Dirty Dom. We got a lot of strong contenders.
We do have a lot of strong contenders.
I'm going to eliminate some. I think we eliminate Braun Breaker.
Okay. I would second that. Yeah. I think Braun had a good year, but there are enough names on here to knock him out that had a stronger year.
He lost his Intercontinental title to Dom at WrestleMania in a triple threat. I think Javon's gone too.
Yeah.
But who do you think? Who would you take off the list?
I would take Seth off.
Okay.
Just because we had the fake injury, touchdown Ole Miss. We had the fake injury and then we had the real injury. And I think he played a factor, but I don't think he played as big of a factor as he would have had things gone just a little bit differently. And I think there are, again, enough names on here that just did that much better, right? That just had a better year, that were more consistent, that just did more, right? So to me, I would honestly take Seth off. I would honestly maybe take Gunther off as well. Like, I know that might be controversial, but Gunther was gone for a large portion of the year. Like, he took that long break after he lost the title, and then he was, you're back. Okay, I'm making a case for Gunther to be taken off the list as well. Okay. I would maybe take him off as well.
Yeah, I'm there.
Just because if it's the year, then I feel like they should have been around for the majority of the year, and Gunther and Seth kind of weren't.
I mean, they're both around for 9 of 12 months. That's,
but we had people do 12 of 12.
I mean, injuries happen, so I could see that. I'd eliminate Hangman. I eliminate Moxley.
Okay.
I eliminate Cody Rhodes.
Really? Oh, you have to make a case for that one.
What did he do this year that was impressive?
He won a title.
He beat John Cena. He also had a stinker of a match against John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he did.
He won the title, then went to film a movie, and hasn't really found his groove until the last month of the year. This was a weak year for Cody Rhodes.
They need to find things for Cody to do.
It started off strong with him and Kevin. That carried over from the end of last year into the end of the year before to 2025, like into the Royal Rumble. That was a good fight they had. But then he got in the program with Cena, and then Cena schooled him a lot.
Yeah.
He learned a lot this year. But the QB1 was name only. He wasn't as strong because he took some time off after carrying the company for a year and a half.
Which is justifiable and understandable because, you know.
He took a few weeks off. He then filmed a movie at the end of the summer, which they're going to do at this point. That's not to discredit him. But I think there's been other performers that were better. My top three are Jay, John, and Dirty Dom.
I can get behind all of those. I almost want to give it to Dom. Just because Dom has had a really, really, really good year. He hasn't been as flashy and he hasn't been as loud, but he's been consistent and he's been present and he's been there and he's been owning what they've been having him doing. Like, he shows up and he does not fail.
Rod got behind Dom this year. Okay. Honestly, and I should say Oba. Oba's my fourth.
Oba had a really good year. I think he's going to have a better this year.
That's why he had a really good breakout year this year for those who picked him for breakout for next year. But yeah, Dom, Cena, Jay, Oba, in that order, I think.
I can get behind that.
So our male hard carry of the year is Dirty Dominic Mysterio.
Deserved.
He had a year.
He had a year. He really did. Like, he had a really, really great year. Like, it's just the consistency with him. It really, truly is. Like, everything they gave him, everything they asked of him, he rose to the challenge and then some, and he just owned the shit out of it.
He did.
Like, he has come such a long way in a really short amount of time, and he's really found himself in this character. And what's great about him is it's not getting old. It has a really good shelf life, because I think it's just him, not necessarily being himself, but just being an irritating little shit. And it works for him. It completely works for him. So good for Dom.
Our next category.
The nominees for the Female Hard Carry of the Year are Toni Storm, EO Sky, Stephanie Vacher, Becky Lynch, Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stragan, Mercedes Monet, Athena, Chris Statlander, JC Jane, Blake Monroe, Julia, Rhea Ripley.
Why don't you go first?
Oh, this is a toughie, because there's some people that had some years this year. Like, the top is obviously Stephanie. She had a great, great 2025. She had a fantastic 2025, and I think she will continue to climb in 2026. Mercedes had a really good 2025. She had, what, 13 titles that she was walking around with at one point? And was just doing the belt collector thing and just owning the crap out of that. You have Athena, who is the Eternal ROH champion. She's had the title for like, what, 1,000 days or something like that. You had Becky just return in a great character, and she's been owning that ever since. Lyra had a really good year in terms of being the inaugural Intercontinental champion for the women. And she carried that and really set that in motion.
She was the work. Hold on. I'm going to stop you. Lyra was the workhorse of the division this year.
Yeah, she was. She really, really, really was. And then there's Mommy, of course, needs no introduction or explanation. Blake switching over and trying a new character. Julia coming up. JC had a really, really, really good year.
She did.
Like, JC's had a lot of up and downs in her career. And in terms of her finally finding her place and finding her character and finding herself and really setting things in motion for herself, that happened last year because they sort of put the brand behind her in terms of giving her the NXT title and as well as the TNA.
So when
Stephanie
and Julia got called up, she became the face of the division.
And she's owned it.
Yeah.
She's really come into her own. Like, they gave her the chance with the spotlight and she freaking took it and ran with it. Like, there, and then there's EO. EO had a fantastic 2025. She sort of broke out of Damage Control. She started doing all the stuff with Rhea, and we have that whole story in combination that's been really good. And then Toni has had a fantastic year and has just set benchmarks across AEW. Like, this is difficult. This is really difficult.
So you want to know the first name I chop off the list?
Tiffany?
Rhea.
Okay. All right, I'll give you Rhea because I think, well, she had a good year. I don't think she had a monumental year.
She was a part of really good matches. She didn't win the big match.
Nope.
This year. Blake was really good. She was AEW Women's Champion, and they became North American Champion in NXT. Good year. Removing her. Statlander ended Toni's reign, taking her off the thing. Lyra was the workhorse, but she's not a hard carry of the year. Athena, a lot of it's on ROH and need more on AEW. She had like a 2-3 month run on AEW. Need more. Toe is down on the sideline.
It was a nasty fall too.
So Tiffany was undefeated for 10 months. That's hard to do in WWE, and it was all as champion.
Yeah,
she's in the top three, I think, maybe top four. Mercedes, she's got to be on the list, even though Brent does not like her. She had 13 belts among many different companies. She is the CEO for a reason. She actually had a really, really great year. She had her best matches. She worked a variety of different opponents. Did she win the women's world title? No, but she won everything else that she could get her hands on. Because he doesn't like the gimmick that she won 13 titles. That's why he's not a fan.
Okay. I'm not necessarily a fan of the gimmick either, but I cannot deny the accomplishment.
Yeah. It was a big accomplishment. Big. Yeah, it was a big accomplishment this year. EO. It's Stephanie, it's Mercedes, and it's Tiffany. Yes, that means it's not Becky. Becky's done a lot of good, but I don't think she had the standout match that everyone else had.
No.
If that makes sense. I don't think she had that big moment that they went, oh, that's why she should be at the top. Tiffany went undefeated for a large portion of the year. But I think she didn't have the match of the year that you need to have to be on this list. So it goes to, I think, EO and Stephanie, I think, are your top two. Mercedes is number three, but I think EO and Stephanie are number two, and I'm not sure.
That's tricky. That's almost a coin toss because EO had a phenomenally good year. She really helped to carry the division. She helped to carry the title. She got a few huge upset wins that I don't think anybody really expected her to get. And then there's Stephanie, who has just experienced a meteoric rise in WWE and has just kind of really taken the company by storm and is very quickly challenging Rhea as sort of that top baby face in the company, you know, and the company has strapped the rocket to her. Like, they see something in her and they recognize that there's a lot they can do with her. I don't know.
This one's tough because as much as they stuck the rocket on Stephanie, they did the same with Io. They put the... Well, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but there was a match. They put the belt on her when everyone thought it was going to stay on Rhea. Rhea won the belt to start the year, and her reign didn't last as long as people thought.
Mm-mm.
Everyone thought Rhea was going to be your champion going into WrestleMania. She lost it beginning of March, March 1st, the night after Chamber. And everyone thought she would win it back at Mania. She didn't.
Nope.
She still hasn't beaten Io. So much so they've become partner.
Yep.
I think it's Io over Stephanie because she's had more standout matches over Stephanie. Stephanie's been really good, but Io was the best worker of the division, I think, this year.
I think if you want to talk about workhorses, Lyra and Io were really the workhorses of the division. And they carried it on two different levels. Lyra with the IC title, Io with the main title. And she carried them through Mania. Because Stephanie, it's like she got it late and she's had a really, really, really good run. I think this year will be her year. More than 2025 was.
She also held the NXT. I'll make the other cases. She held the NXT North American and women's title at the same time by beating Julia. Like it's 1A, 1B with those two. Like, you really can't go wrong. But yeah, I think it's Io takes it.
I think Io just beats her out by like a hair.
It's a smidge. Because Io's work, like, Lyra was a workhorse. Io's work was on another level in the ring.
Yeah. Like, Io did some stuff this year that we haven't seen her do in a long time. Like, she almost had her second renaissance this year.
I think she did.
I won't even say that she almost did. I think she did, yeah. Like, I think this is almost on the level of when she turned heel. And she just really hit her stride in the heel gimmick. And now they brought her all the way back, and she's now just a pure babyface again. And she's hitting her stride in that. And the work with Rhea, the work with, like, Naomi, all of it, like, just the stories that she was able to do and tell this year, especially as champion, when nobody expected her to win that title. Nobody expected her to do it, and nobody expected her to keep it. And she did, and she proved herself time and time and time again. I think with Stephanie, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? Like, I remember us having those conversations multiple times about Stephanie of that she will get the title in 2025. It's just a question of when she gets it. Like, whenever Io and Rhea are done with it, Stephanie gets it, right? So, like, that was kind of it. So I think Io does beat out Stephanie.
Female Hard Carry of the Year, Io Sky. Our final category at the Ramblin' Awards.
The nominees for Abby's most spellbinding match are Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky, Evolution, Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens, Elimination Chamber, Rhea Ripley versus Io Sky, Raw in March, Becky Lynch versus Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria, Evolution, Bayley versus Lyra Valkyria, Raw in July, Seth Rollins versus CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, WrestleMania, Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair, WrestleMania, TLC Tag Team Title Match, SmackDown, after WrestleMania, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes, SummerSlam, John Cena versus AJ Styles, Crown Jewel.
My Miami just took the lead, by the way.
They did. They did.
I mean, if that isn't a backup that EO is the workhorse of the year, I don't know what is. Like, and I know there are other people in that category as well, but like, EO has what, 3 matches?
Yeah.
3. Rhea's involved in 2 of them, but there's 3. Or no, Rhea's involved in all 3 as well, but like, yeah, EO, that just like solidifies that EO was the hard character.
The hard carry, yeah. I like that we had 2 matches on from Raw on this list. 2 women's matches from Raw that were on this list. Sammy and Kevin's match at Elimination Chamber. Kevin's last match at this point.
You know, if Kevin has to go out on that, I don't know how he feels about it, so I do not speak for him, but if that is the last time we ever see, I'm fine with him going out on that. I am completely fine with that. Like, that was a fantastic showing, which you would expect it to be, right? Because every time Sammy and Kevin go, it's good.
Yeah,
but this was the first time that they had touched in a really, really, really long time. The story was there. It was all just super well done. And it was a fantastic showing for both of them.
The 3-way of the Evolution, Becky, Bayley, and Lyra was really good. Bayley and Lyra on Raw was really good. 2 wrestling classics there. Io, Rhea, and Bianca opening that WrestleMania. Oh my god, that was so good.
That was a chef's kiss. That was beautiful.
Everyone complaining about the tag titles not being on WrestleMania last year. And then they gave us the 4-way, 4-way TLC match?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was...
That was awesome.
That was an awesome match. It was what, the Profits, it was DIY, it was Motor City, that was great. Then there was Cena and Cody, 2, which made up for 1, because 1 was a stinker in terms of what everyone expected. Number 2 was what everyone wanted at WrestleMania. John Cena was ruining wrestling, and by God, he was ruining wrestling on the WrestleMania stage.
You know, like you do.
Rollins, Punk, and Reigns was really good to close out that show, especially with the ending. That was fantastic as well, but man... The women carried hard.
Yeah.
Rhea and Io carried hard. The AJ Styles, John Cena love letter to wrestling. That one's hard to beat. That's in my top 3. It might be top 2. It might be 1. It's that one was when you go into a match with not, you know, expectations of just solid, and then they just did that where they did tribute after tribute after tribute to their history. I don't know. That one's hard to beat.
But do you love it because of the nostalgia?
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. It was a love letter to wrestling. Like, that one's hard to beat. I take out the Rhea and Io match at Evolution because it had the cash-in finish.
Yeah.
The WrestleMania 3-way was good with the women. That's in my top 3. To me, it's Cena, AJ, it's the women's 3-way at WrestleMania, and I think it's Rhea, Io on Raw in March. My top 3. I don't know, what's yours?
Like, I feel like the Cena-AJ match was good. I think it was better than a lot of people were expecting it to be, because I think all of us... Oh, wait, is there a flag? Hold on. Is there a flag on the play? No. Are they going to Georgia it? No flag! Miami beats Ole Miss. Wow! 31-27. Get ready for Miami's coach to talk about how they are a violent bunch. Anyway... like, Cena and AJ was good. It was better than what we all thought it was going to be, because there was like no real build behind it. There was a lot of nostalgia in it, and I think that's what really makes it, is the nostalgia factor. I think Io and Rhea and Bianca, though, just absolutely tore the house down at WrestleMania. They set the tone of that entire show, and they went, follow this. And not a lot on that show, at least as far as this list is concerned, followed it, because there's only one other match from that show on this list, and that's the men's 3-way.
Main event the night before.
So, I don't know. I kind of got to give the TLC match a shout out, because there was just insanity and stupidity that happened in that match, and it was a good level of insanity and stupidity. It wasn't like the crazy level, but it was like a really appropriate level of it, and I thought it was really entertaining to watch and see. So yeah, I kind of want to put the women over Cena and AJ.
I'm okay with it.
Like I think Io and Rhea and Bianca, like if we're going for a spellbinding match, I think Io and Rhea and Bianca beat AJ and Cena, but it's not by much.
Yeah, like Cena and AJ had a mission. There was no story. It was all about history, and they told the story. I said it before the match happened. It was going to steal the show that night. And it did.
Oh, it totally did.
But I can give it to Io, Rhea, and Bianca. I'm okay with that. So your Abby's most spellbinding match. Io Sky, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair for the Women's World title at WrestleMania.
And that's it. Do we have production to close it out?
We just got music.
Okay. That's it for the 2026 Ramblin' Awards. Congratulations to all our winners. Your virtual prizes will be in the mail shortly. There's no virtual prizes. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you had fun. That's it for us, and you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
We return to the airwaves with CB Radio Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, it's WTR Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, there is no post-show because they're overseas, so the Raw post-show returns in a couple of weeks because overseas wrestling. We will be back next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for an actual news show. Because what we had planned isn't happening. We're figuring that out. It's at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. At Rack Radio Show and all social media platforms, wherever you get the podcast, just search the Rack Radio Show chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code ROCKINSOCK or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store when you buy all the characters of South Park starting tomorrow in Fortnite Battle Royale, the ultimate Battle Royale experience. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias, at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, this has been the 2026 Ramblin' Awards. I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.